Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI. This is the Smart Passive Income Podcast with Pat Flynn, session number 239. I'm in like Flynn. Let's go.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host. His search history on Google includes how to grow taller? Pat Flynn.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And in the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. You can get unparalleled access to job seekers with over 350 million unique visitors globally, according to Indeed data, and an extended reach through Glassdoor. I love how adaptable Indeed is, and it's just your all-in-one hiring platform. You can do everything on there, interviews, messaging. There's nothing else that you need. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/smartpassive. Just go to Indeed.com/smartpassive right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/smartpassive. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you're like most entrepreneurs, you probably spend a lot of time sitting. Well, a standing desk can make a huge difference. It's actually a complete game changer. If you haven't tried one before, this offer from Uplift is for you. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. Over a million customers have chosen Uplift Desk. Innovative product designs, reasonable pricing, same-day shipping, free accessories with every desk. You can see why they're such a big hit. Standing while I work helps me get the creative juices flowing, helps me focus and stay productive, and I'm way more alert when I'm standing. And Uplift is a great deal. An industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that. And they provide a state-of-the-art experience. They're stable, made of very solid materials, and there are over 100 desktop choices and customizations available. Go to upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's UPLIFT desk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order. What's up, everybody? Thank you so much for joining me today in this session of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Really happy you're here because today I'm talking with Ellery Wells from ellerywells.com, somebody who I've gotten to know over the last few years. We've met in person several times, you know,
whenever we've chatted together, one thing that's always coming up is just how much we love and prioritize mastermind groups and also mentors and just the idea of mentorship. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. We thought it'd be kind of fun to just have a general conversation about that to get you thinking about this. Maybe you have mentors or maybe you don't, or maybe you're in a mastermind group or maybe you're looking to get in one. But we're going to talk everything about mentors and masterminds today. So without further ado, here's Ellery from ellerywells.com. Here he is. What's up, everybody? So stoked to welcome Ellery Wells to the SPI podcast. Ellery, thanks for coming on the show.
Pat, it's an honor to be here and just to chat with you in this medium and be able to share any sort of wisdom or story with your audience. It's an honor. I'm a fan, so thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. And you know, if you visit Ellery's site at ellerywells.com, you know, his tagline is empowering and equipping entrepreneurs. And you know, there's obviously a lot of things entrepreneurs could be equipped with to find success, but one of the things that we wanted to talk about today is mentors and connecting with the right people. I've mentioned it before how important connecting with other people is. Ellery, can you talk a little bit about why it's important to connect with the right people and even more specifically, why we should look for mentors when we're building a business?
Absolutely, Pat. I include you as one of my virtual mentors. When I got started in 2012, I was obsessively going to smartpassiveincome.com and seeing, what is Pat doing? How can I make it my own and do my own version of that? But finding people that are doing what you want to do, A, shows that there's a business model out there that someone has slightly blazed the trail. But not only important is the proof of concept there, but just surrounding it's like if you were going camping or hiking, you'd want somebody there to watch your back or to help carry the load or just to shoot the breeze with when you're having, you know, a rough time. Finding mentors and people to go on that journey with you, especially when you're talking about entrepreneurship and doing anything with online business, those are critical elements for success. And they've been, like I mentioned, going to your site. I did the same thing with Michael Hyatt back in the day, and trying to find people to inspire me and keep me encouraged and some sort of model to follow.
Yeah, I love that. You mentioned a few words there: inspiring, encouraging, and following the model. I think that those are three real big reasons why we should, you know, try to find these mentors out there. And for me, a lot of people know that I actually didn't have a true mentor, meaning somebody who I reached out to who then like kind of took me under their wing. But I was still in the same way that you were following me. I had people who I had considered to be my mentors at the time as when I was starting out. For example, Tim Ferriss, who wrote the 4-Hour Workweek, and even Jeremy and Jason from Internet Business Mastery. And yes, I didn't necessarily have immediate contact with them, although I eventually did with Jeremy and Jason. But even with Tim, just following what he was doing, getting inspired, getting encouraged by what he was doing, and just really understanding his methods and how I could incorporate them to what I was doing, not copying. I think that's a big thing I want to talk about really quick, yeah. Ellery. But you know, I was following what he was doing, and I was just, you know, that's our big reason why Smart Passive Income exists today. When you say that, like, you were looking at my stuff and watching Michael Hyatt, like, can you help people understand that this isn't copying, right? Like, how can you define What is it that you are utilizing these? And we're now talking about sort of virtual mentors, people who are out there who can inspire you that you don't have immediate access to. How can we utilize them best without like copying them?
Well, sure. I mean, we've all heard the phrase "imitation is the highest form of flattery," but that's not what we're talking about.
No.
Pat Flynn has already been done. Tim Ferriss has already been done. I wrote a post about it, something to the effect of, you know, 4-Hour has been done in reference to you, Pat. It's, you know, openness and transparency has already been done. Not that these aren't great things, but I compare it to, why would someone be interested in talking to you at dinner or, you know, whenever you're hanging out? What are your friends interested in? The same thing that makes our friends interested in us are the same things that are going to make or friends, I mean, like, you can go and hug them and give them a handshake in person. Those types of things are the same thing that's going to make you interesting online. So when you see what somebody else is doing, I looked more for the structure, how you guys, I mean, there's a long list of people that I paid attention to, but I looked at how you were doing things, you know, some of your motivations. Like I remember you saying back, I don't remember exactly when you started your blog. I think it was 2008. You were talking about how the openness and transparency and pulling back that curtain showed a different side of online business and made you more believable and relatable. It's like, how can I incorporate that personal touch, that openness and honesty that I hold true, you know, they're my core beliefs too. How can I add those elements into what I'm doing online? Mm-hmm. And it's like I said, what would make you have a good conversation over a dinner? You know, what would we talk about? Those kind of elements, those personality things, apply your personality to the structures in the model and the how that you are seeing from these examples and these mentors online or offline for that matter. You can take best practices from offline stuff and apply them to online. And I think there's a big market to be had there, sharing across mediums, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And what's cool about this, like I'm reminded of, you know, Ramit Sethi from I Will Teach You to Be Rich.com, who has his very own style, and you know, he's done personal finance in his own specific way, and he's sort of branched out from that. But he also has been very open with the fact that, you know, one of his mentors was Jay Abraham. And when I think of, okay, well, Ramit and Jay, they're very different people, and they have very different styles, yet I can absolutely see the correlation in where Ramit has, you know, how Ramit has become Ramit based on what he's sort of picked up from Jay too. So I think, yeah, absolutely right. It's about, you know, the model. It's about, you know, the principles and the beliefs of that person, and you kind of taking those in too. That doesn't mean you have to copy their website. It doesn't mean that you have to have the same emails as them or have the same exact funnel or anything like that. That's different. This is the beliefs. This is getting inspiration and getting that mentorship. Now, would you recommend, I mean, typically when you're just starting out, you're going to have virtual mentors that you find. Mm-hmm. But I think, and I wish I had, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's always best to have like an official mentor, right? Like somebody who you really believe in the same sort of fashion, but that you actually have access to, you could reach out to, and you kind of communicate with to push you along. How did you have like a mentor like that, or did you only have virtual mentors?
I think in the very beginning, because for the first 2 years of me doing anything online, I was still working at my corporate job. So all the people I met in person from my 9 to 6, mm-hmm. like day job, they thought this online stuff was kind of dumb. When I talked about starting a blog, they like, people do that. That's kind of weird. I don't want to talk to you about it. So most of my mentors at the very beginning were absolutely virtual. I binged on podcasts, which kind of slowed down when I started working from home full time. Mm-hmm. No commute. It's harder to listen to podcasts. But since then, official and unofficial mastermind groups have something that have benefited me. I mean, I can point to so many different products or services or ways of doing business that I've created that wouldn't even exist without actual mentors and mastermind groups and just people who are either on the same level as, like three different ones, like people who are behind me and following me, people who are on the same level as me, and then the third one being people who are doing what I want to eventually be doing, or certain aspects of their business are things that I want to adopt. Like their revenue is, you know, significantly higher than mine, or they have more members than I do, or they have a larger email list than I do, or mm-hmm. they're doing something, some goal that I have for my business, whatever it is. I try now to have a more, I guess, I don't know if you would have like official versus unofficial mentors, but people I go to on a regular basis to ask questions of, see what they're doing. I think we all hate the phrase pick their brain, but test ideas out with, and those kinds of things.
Yeah. How do you find those people? If you're just starting out and you know you need somebody out there who has a little bit more experience than you in that thing that you're doing, how do you go out and find somebody? Is it just a cold email asking someone, hey, can I test some ideas off of you? Or is there a lot more that has to happen before that can happen?
I think there's got to be a big runway to that. I don't know that works anymore. I mean, if you're talking about someone specifically online these days, I mean, I'm a relatively small fish compared to the other names that we have talked about in the last few minutes. And I get an email like that once a week. Mm-hmm. So without any sort of context, I honestly don't think that works anymore. But what would work is leveraging your existing connections. Logging on to Facebook and asking your friends, hey, do any of you know someone who does XYZ? And mm-hmm. I mean, I throw in whatever analogy of the 6 degrees or whatever of Kevin Bacon, and the odds are you know somebody who is at least tied to or connected to the industry that you want to get into, or has some sort of role that you would like to take on, or fill in the blank. You probably already have somebody inside your connection to that you could, or an existing relationship that you could leverage. So let me ask you, Pat, what did you do? Because I, like you were saying, you didn't have a whole lot of these things. How did you develop those relationships?
Well, a lot of those relationships happened through a course that I took called Internet Business Mastery Academy. Mm-hmm. That was the one that was created by Jason and Jeremy from Internet Business Mastery. And it was there that I was able to then find a community, because they had a community involved. There's a lot of other programs that have similar things now. For instance, Upreneur with Chris Ducker, he has a great mm-hmm. community, and they all connect and chat with each other too. It was that community that I found people who had already sold a product when I was looking to do it for the first time, and I just simply reach out to them, and that connection that we already had in that particular program was enough to just start those conversations. And no, not everybody responded, and not everybody took the time out, but there were a few people that actually did take the time, and actually some of them got on a call with me to help me out, which blew my mind. I mean, there are people out there who are willing to help, but they're not going to help unless you ask. That's one of the big things I've learned. And I think I also had to, I don't know if you found this to be the case too, but in the beginning when I was starting out, Ellery, I wanted to do everything on my own and try to figure out everything on my own. And I would watch YouTube videos and read books and just try to do it without asking for help. I don't know if it was because I was ashamed that I didn't know those things, or embarrassed, or the fact that, there's like, I'm like, I'm a guy. So, and, guys don't ask for directions when we get lost, like that type of thing. I don't know what it was, but it took me a few years to understand, wow, people are willing to help and they're really helpful. And this is helping my business so much. And there's nothing about pride involved. It's not about being shameful. It's just people have, remember what it was like, and they're paying it forward. And now this is kind of what I'm doing. And now what you're doing now with your site. Did you find that it was hard for you to actually ask for help in the beginning, or was it easy?
I think it was probably hard, because asking for help at the time, and I think a lot of people might connect with this, is, like you said, seen as a weakness. And I think you and I will see each other, or depending on when this goes live, we will have seen each other again at the Thrive Conference there in San Diego. Mm-hmm. Last year, I had the chance to hear Gary Vaynerchuk talk, and he talked about tripling down on the 2-3% of things that he's really good at, and just ignoring all of the things that he's not good at. And people usually think that, okay, if I need help with something, it inherently means that I'm not good at it, or it means that I'm deficient, or I don't have a skill where I should have it. But if you look at it through the lens of doubling or tripling down on the things that you are trained and talented in, all of the other things are just things that you need to boot. It doesn't matter that it's not a weakness. It's not a deficiency or something that you should be able to do and you can't, or you don't know how to. You just think, hey, think of it through the lens of, I am only going to do the things that only I can do, and I'm going to get assistance for everything else. It changes the conversation from I'm stuck and I can't do anything, will you help me, to I'm focusing on this and I'd love to get some assistance with that.
Right, right. And even taking the things that you are focusing on, those 2 or 3% of that, it's essentially the essentialism approach to building your business. Only focusing on those things that you rank, you know, really, really important in whatever it is you're trying to do and letting everything else go. Even with those top things, you can still get help. Like I remember watching golf for a long time, and I used to be really big into golf until I had kids, and now I no longer have time to golf. But that's one of the sacrifices I made. But when I was big into golf, I used to golf every day after school in college in Berkeley. I remember watching Tiger Woods on TV, and he was getting swing coaching. And I was like, what is Tiger Woods doing getting swing coaching? But then I realized, well, he's at the top of his game, yet he still realizes that he could use some help and that there are people out there who, even though they're not the greatest golfers like he was, can still help with certain things that he wants to improve on and stay consistent with.
When you're at the top of your game, and I think you might disagree, Pat, but I would say you're pretty close to the top of your game. It's not major changes or course corrections that you need to do. It's the swings. It's the putting coach.
Right.
I mean, if you looked at a football team, we're getting all, or at this point in the year, we're getting about to get into football season. It's the tiny things. The quarterback has a throwing coach. And there's a receiver coach. There's highly specialized things. But to answer your question, I want to make sure it was clear. From a second ago, I did have a lot of doubt and insecurities about asking for help, because I did think it was these big gaps in my talent set. But over time, I don't know. I'm very introspective, and sometimes I overanalyze even when it comes to myself. But
yeah,
looking back at my background and just any success that I've been able to have over the last 4 or 5 years of doing this is because I either boosted a little bit of my weaknesses, but you know, to what extent can you actually do that? But it's really where I focused on my strength, and it just became being comfortable with saying, hey, I'm going to have somebody else do the things that I'm not so good at. It's like when Michael Jordan tried to play baseball. You know, he was a natural athlete, but it didn't work out so well. When he's focused on basketball, rock star. What is it, the White Sox? And he was just like, he got a spot on the team because of his name. So it's like that same thing whenever we're doing whatever it is what we want to do. We just got to kind of get to that point to say it's okay to not be good at everything. And since it's okay, I'm going to surround myself with people that are good at those things so I can focus on what only I can do.
Yeah, I love that. And I'd like to shift the conversation from sort of these mentors that we're talking about to more along the colleague realm or masterminds like you were talking about earlier, because masterminds, we've talked about them on the show before. We've had people like Jamie Masters come on to talk about masterminds. I've done presentations about masterminds. I'd love to hear from your perspective. You touched on it a little bit earlier on just how important masterminds have been, and you know, maybe even share some specifics if you can on what are some of the things that you actually picked up in one of your groups that you've applied to your business.
So I do if I don't answer the question exactly, Pat, make sure, this is a big passion for me and something that has helped me tremendously. So if I don't give you the answer that you're looking for, just let me know.
Okay, thanks.
But one of the things that I've picked up is a lot of people have the same questions, but a lot of people also think that they're the only ones with that question.
Mm-hmm.
So I do paid masterminds with 3 to 5 people as part of my business, and I see question every there's a kind of a similar trajectory that most people follow through. You know, you go through it's like the stages of whatever, of recovery, whatever. It's like everybody has the grief, the self-doubt, the questioning, the excitement, the highs and lows.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I've picked up from this value is by surrounding yourself with people that are on the same journey as you. You might not be going exactly the same place, but we're all moving in the same direction as a team. you notice that I'm not the only one that has this question. And if it's, well, that makes it okay. And it eliminates some of that self-doubt. Because I'm sure you went through this several years ago, just like I have and still do on more than one occasion or more than once a year, of like, am I going nuts? Does this work? Is this how I should be doing this? And you sit in the same chair, the same home office, like you and I are both doing right now. And like that little, like Seth Godin calls the heckler in the back of the room, just gets louder and louder. But by surrounding yourself with other people, you get that support structure of, we all have doubt. We can move through it together. I'm not the only one that's struggling with this. And since I'm not the only one, it makes it more tolerable whenever we sometimes, you know, tune into what that heckler is saying.
Knowing that I'm not alone is really important. Like kind of to sum up what you're saying, that voice that's in the back of your head, which is always going to be there. It's always great to talk about that with others. I think when a lot of people struggle is when they are sitting at their home office or even wherever thinking about their business and they don't have anybody to run things by. And having access to a mastermind group allows you to continually regroup every single week or month or however often you choose to do your frequency of meetings. It allows you to have that sort of safe place to talk about these things, because, you know, you mastermind with people who you trust and connect, who are not necessarily in the same niche as you, but like you said, are trying to achieve the same goals, who share the same values and whatnot. So yeah, I completely agree with you for that. I'm huge on mastermind groups. I'm in two ones that are not paid mastermind groups, but they're sort of they're free groups that were sort of formed from just people we've met at conferences and whatnot. These paid ones, I'm curious to know, like, how, talk about that really quick. That's actually something we haven't ever talked about. What does that mean, like a paid mastermind group?
So what I do is I charge people to get small group training with me over, I ask for a 6-month minimum commitment. Most people go for at least a year. I think I've had two people who dropped out after 6 months, but the reason why I like the for fee model is it puts people's skin in the game.
It does, yeah.
I rarely have anybody miss a meeting. Like probably a 98-99% attendance rate. Whereas some of the, I've also been in and am still in some quote free masterminds, and it's closer to like a 50% attendance rate. You know, you get busy and, oh, well, I'll just push that off the back burner. Mm-hmm. So if you think someone would find value in more of the, not necessarily technical, but how I set that up, frequency or anything like that, we can talk about that too. But the value, I look for people who are behind me. If this was a linear journey, I look for people who are 2 or 3 steps behind and want to learn from me. They're already reading the blog. Statistically, they're blog readers, they're podcast listeners. They've read a book or bought a product. So they're already, for lack of a better term, in a sales funnel, and they already subscribe to the way I do business and are already coming to me for more information. So since we're all pretty busy, being able to charge a premium for one-on-one or small group attention, like you and Chris do with your one-day business breakthrough, doing similar things like that. Is okay. That it?
Yeah, that answers the question. The fact that people are paying, they're more likely to show up. They have more skin in the game. That doesn't necessarily mean that the free ones are bad. I've been in very successful free ones myself. I will say that I've also been in many that aren't in existence anymore and that did have low percentage rates. So, and plus I would imagine that those group meetings are very focused because it's something that you pay for, and you wouldn't pay for it unless it was something that was, you know, you really, really wanted to do, and you're obviously, you know, that you're connecting with other people who are in the same mindset.
Well, exactly. I mean, we we have a lot of fun, but we also have a very action-focused and results-oriented time every other week. It also, by charging, it allows me as the facilitator, I'm a member. I don't just group people together and say, go do your thing. I attend and participate in every single meeting. But by charging, it allows me to do things like pay for software that does all records all of the videos so people can go back and play them. It allows me to do other things like, you know, send referral gift cards and things like that, and be able to do this full time and support my own learning so that I can pass on information like from Thrive or the Digital Marketer Conference that I'm going to in Orlando or Podcast Movement, taking all of the nuggets of information from all of these things that I'm learning as well and passing them on to other people. But I want to make sure we point out the fact that I also think people should be in a mastermind of people that are further, but in different ways. Like doing something that you want to do or incorporating into your business. I'm in a group just like that. We meet every Wednesday. I usually do every other week, but because usually every week gets pretty intense, but, people who have much bigger businesses than I do, and I'm learning how to market better from Marshall, or I'm learning how to podcast better from Carrie. You know, each person provides a different thing. And if you're thinking about joining a mastermind group, see if you can get details on who else is in the group. I usually don't share that information. I usually bank on people trusting me to partner them with a diverse group that I think would get along. And for the most part, that's worked. But see if that group or anyone that – or any training program, like you mentioned, Internet Business Mastery, fine. See if the people that you would be connecting with will help you in your journey. This is the time when you're finding mentors, when you're finding a coach, or you're finding a mastermind group to join. This is a time to be selfish and find people that you can, not in a manipulative way, but that you can leverage to grow your business and accomplish what you want to.
And one of the benefits of working with mentors and with working with other people in a mastermind group, and I know this through experience, is the accountability and the fact that you just don't want to let those people down, or they even tell you sometimes, well, this is what you need to do and by when. And that's so huge, because it's so different than when you're working by yourself and you're just kind of working at your own pace and you're not exactly sure like when things should be done, and hearing it from an outside perspective is great. But for those who are still in the works of, you know, getting together a mastermind group, paid or free, or they are looking for a mentor and they quite don't have one yet, how can one still hold themselves accountable? I think this is one of the biggest struggles that entrepreneurs have. And I even go through it myself. Sometimes I can always say, oh, well, I'll just leave it for tomorrow. And, you know, beyond just like, I don't know, what are some accountability strategies that, you know, through talking to a lot of these people in these mastermind groups that you're involved with and your networks, what are some things that you've learned that people can use to kind of help themselves along even before they get connected to other people?
That is a tough question. I think the best advice that I might be able to come up with is the value that I get, and people have told me that they get when they talk to a satisfied customer. Like if you saw, by the way, your business should always be solving a problem, right? Talk to the people whose problem you are solving and get their feedback. That's a fantastic motivator. Like when you hear people say that they don't have enough of something, or they wish they had something better, or fill in the blank with the problem, and you have a solution to that, that is an incredible motivator to push forward, get up early, stay up late, do all of the necessary things to make sure that you can help that person solve their problem. I always use the analogy I'm drinking some water over here, and it was funny. I was doing one of the talks at Podcast Movement, and I've used this analogy, and someone actually brought me some water. It was kind of cool, but I suggest that people think of their product as a glass of water, and they're looking for thirsty people. If you go into it with that mindset, there are thirsty people out there, and I have what they need. It changes the conversation from, man, I'm tired, to I know John or Susan or Marshall or Amy out there needs what I am in the process of building. So talking to your customer solves a lot of problems. Robert Hershovich says sales cure all ills, but it all starts with talking to that customer. So if someone is struggling with finding that motivation, talk to somebody.
Yeah, so still, it still comes down to talking to people. I think that's the big theme here, right? Like we have to.
Which
get...
sucks for me as an introvert.
Hey, but you're still doing it. I think, you know, a lot of people might be surprised to hear this, but I'm actually an introvert myself. Like when I go to conferences, like my brain wants me to go and just sit in the corner and just be in my laptop. But I know it's important for me and my business and for others for me to go out there and talk to people. So that's what you got to do. And I think that just speaks highly to, you know, getting over those fears. I know a lot of people are going to be listening to this and they're going to be like, oh, that's not what I wanted to hear, but it's what you need to hear and it's what you need to do. So one thing that I've implemented in my business, and I don't know if some of you listening to this, you might have been one of the lucky people to get a call, but I try to reach out to 10 people every single month in my audience through my email list. So I just randomly select emails that come in and I reach out to them. It's funny because when I reach out to them and I say, hey, I'd like to get on a Skype call with you, they think it's an autoresponder of some kind, but it's me really personally reaching out. So you might get one of those in the future. So look out. And I just try to get on Skype with them and or a phone call so that I can talk to them and listen to them about exactly that. Like, what are you struggling with right now is what I typically ask first. Or I often get into the website and what their experience is like on it. That's what a lot of the conversations were leading up to the latest redesign. But now it's a lot of the conversations are related to some of the upcoming projects that I have, like courses and whatnot. And so I can hear directly from the mouths of the audience that I am going to serve what it is that they need help with. And you are absolutely right, Ellery. Like every time I finish those conversations, like I feel like high as the sky, just super motivated to want to help these people out because I've heard their voice. I know their backstories now. I ask questions like asking them why they felt that way or why hadn't they gotten started yet. And I know because you're hearing, there's no guessing anymore. And you know, you get to know these people's names and you get to hear their voice. It means a lot more, which means you're actually going to be motivated a lot more. That's one thing I always do every single month, try to get to 10 people in my audience. So that's a big challenge. If you guys wanted to take that challenge on, you know, try to reach out to one. Let me just start off with one. See if you can reach out to one person in your audience and actually have a voice-to-voice conversation with them at some point this month and talk to them about, you know, what it is that they need help with and what you can potentially learn from that. And man, I assure you that if you do that, you're going to learn some things that you didn't know. So that's really important. For me, I also am very motivated personally by data and dates. And I think this is the last thing I want to touch on is you know, just how you know, I think what you just mentioned is perfect and sort of universal, but we also have to understand that everybody is different and we are each motivated in our own special ways. So one of the things that I actually learned in one of my mastermind groups was that you know, we were all kind of struggling to provide great feedback for each other. This was a number of years ago. And this conversation came up and we actually decided to have like an emergency mastermind call, I guess you can call it, where we each one by one shared how we best are motivated. Because some people, like the drill sergeant, like, oh my, Ellery, why didn't you do that? Why are you so lazy? Like blah, blah, blah. Like some people respond to that. If somebody talked to me that way, though, I would curl up in a shell and just like roll away.
Me too.
That's how I would feel. And so, you know, for some people who that's their personality, they just automatically default to sharing information and motivating people in that way. Well, on that call, we soon discovered that, you know, so-and-so likes that and that's how they are motivated. But I don't like that. And this is how I'm motivated. I'm motivated by encouragement, by reward, and by knowing that I'm actually making an impact. So now the conversations in those groups, whenever somebody's trying to convince me or help me do something or achieve something, it's in the way that I can respond to. And so I feel like we all need to know what motivates us and how we are best motivated. I mean, I've picked this up with my kids. Like, my son is so different than my daughter, and I've had to realize that I cannot talk to them in the same way. So last question I want to ask you, Ellery, is like, what motivates you to keep going? You had mentioned, like, if you got spoken to like a drill sergeant, you'd curl up like me. So we're similar in that vein. But what is it that gets you motivated?
Oh, man. I feel, Pat, like I should have like the immediate answer to that question. I think it's that I don't have everything that I want to have, not just like physical stuff. I mean, like, and it's not happiness either. It's maybe just the freedom to do whatever I want, whenever I want, and bring Ashley, my wife, with me. Because mm-hmm. I mean, I can't do my business from anywhere, but she is still tied to doing something she really likes, but it's tied to a physical location. I think what motivates me is that my goals are just over the horizon. And it's not just that as I keep moving forward, they keep getting further away, mm-hmm. but so many people quit. I talked about this on the blog just this week about, I think the very first time I met you, Pat, was at New Media Expo in January of 2014. And I was talking to someone I also met at that conference, and just how many people made a promise, they set a goal, and they quit. Their URLs don't work, or their emails don't work. They're just not doing this kind of stuff anymore. And I think part of what motivates me is knowing that if I were to quit, I could be so close to that kind of hockey stick moment without even knowing it. 10 years from now, I could look back and think, man, if I just kept going for 60, 90 days more, I would have just skyrocketed. But I quit right before that happened. The idea that I could throw in the towel just days, weeks, or a couple months before making it big sounds not really what I want to say, but thinking I threw in the towel right before I hit my stride, mm-hmm. or I mean, that's what motivates me. And I all tied together with that is keeping people, or giving people a way to not have to go back to a job that makes them nauseous, gives them that knot in their stomach, which is where I was before I ended up getting kicked out of that job. That's a conversation for another day. It's up on my site if anybody wants to know. But I used to get sick to my stomach going to work, and I don't want people to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, who wants to, going back to talking to people and finding out, you know, what their pains are and what they need. I mean, how can I be okay knowing there are people out there that are miserable and I could have helped them? Combine that with, man, I just couldn't keep going. I was tired, so I quit just moments before I crossed the finish line. Are you kidding me? That's intolerable to me. And maybe I had a that's not the best answer, or the clearly nice wrapped up in a bundle that some people might have, but just knowing that I don't want to quit right before an inflection point, and I don't want people to go back to that job with the boss that's a jerk, the company that doesn't treat them right. And again, not all bosses or companies are that way, but I talk to people like I was back in 2012, 2013, just get that knot in my stomach every time I logged in. I don't want people to do that anymore. So I keep going. It sounds really defeatist, but I keep going, but that's what keeps me motivated and moving forward so that I can help people do something that they enjoy that impacts other people.
Cool, man. Love that. Thank you for sharing that with us. And I think, you know, beyond the reach out to one person in your audience challenge, I'd love to challenge all of you to discover, like, what is it that motivates you? Like, what are the things that you could, if, for example, you were down or just feeling overwhelmed or just didn't want to take any more action, what is a way somebody else could come and lift you up again? And I think, you know, for you, Ellery, it's like, hey, man, you have this passion for helping people. You have these great ideas. And if you give up now, guess what? You're letting a bunch of other people down who need you. And so, yeah, man, thanks for coming on and sharing this. And I would encourage everybody to see if they can discover what that is for themselves too, because it's funny because, you know, you said you kind of struggled to figure out like the beautiful answer that you wanted. That's always the case. Whenever I ask this question to other people, even on that mastermind call, I mean, it took us a whole hour for four people to discover what it is that truly motivated us. So it is something that's really important that I hope you all will take a few moments to try and figure out. So before we let you go, Ellery, can you talk about your new book really quick? Because this is really interesting. It's called Exit Strategy, The Exact Tactics to Transition from Where You Have to Be to Where You Want to Be. Talk about a little bit about why you wrote this book and what it's about.
Oh, thank you for letting me share about it. It came out in July, and it is, I'm very tools focused, very analytical, and I know I can't always talk to everybody who is frustrated at work and wants to leave. And there are also a lot of people who want to start a business or add another stream of revenue or income to their household, but they don't know all, you know, the exact things like that you would need to do, like what tools to use, what tools not to use. From hopefully I would be perceived as a expert in this area, because I've said you call yourself the crash test dummy, Pat. I think that's genius. I test a lot of stuff too, so I take all of this stuff and put it all these ideas and all of these tools and put them in the book. What the part three is, this roadmap. It is 8 weeks of what I wish I had done to plan out my exit strategy so that I didn't have to wrestle with the self-doubt of, can I do it? As much as I followed you and Michael Hyatt and Jeff Goins and Tim Ferriss and all this stuff, I wanted the roadmap that I could follow, and I put that in the book. I wanted to be able to give this book to somebody and believe that I gave them the best resource that I could possibly give them, knowing that I can't do one-on-one coaching with everybody or have everybody in a small group mastermind, because those things aren't necessarily cheap, but you can get the book for $10 or $15.
Nice.
And it's making your exit strategy on your terms, and how to get started, how to, you know, build your email list, how to get your first client. I have a bunch of case studies from entrepreneurs all around the country, United States that is, and how they got their first client, incorporated those case studies into, I think it's also in part three there. I wanted to feel confident that what I was giving somebody was the best resource material that I could possibly give them.
Awesome. Thanks again, Ellery. Where can people find out more about you and get access to your book and all that good stuff?
Sure. I want to make sure I have the right URL, Pat, because I want to be able to give something away if anybody wants it. I've been doing private masterminds for 2 years, and if I took all of the how-to of how to do that, if you want to go to ellerywells.com/SPI, I'll give that to you so that you can start. If you want to create masterminds or find people, I'll give you that material as well. And then my book is theexitstrategybook.com.
Awesome. Thanks, man. We appreciate you, and we'll talk soon.
Pat, it's been a blast and an honor. Thank you for letting me just share my story and maybe an ounce of wisdom with your audience. It was an honor. Thank you very much.
All right, I hope you enjoyed that episode with Ellery Wells from ellerywells.com. That's Ellory Wells.com. Super cool. And also, what's cool is you can always find the show notes at the following link, which is smartpassiveincome.com/session and then the episode number. So this one would be smartpassiveincome.com/session239 for all the links and resources mentioned in this episode. I'd also like to give a shout out to ShipStation.com. So ShipStation.com is really cool because when you're selling online, you know, getting orders out the door can be very tough. This is for physical products. Doesn't matter where you sell them at. Etsy, eBay, Amazon, wherever. You know, what's cool about ShipStation is they automatically bring all of your orders into one easy-to-use interface, no matter what marketplaces you're using to sell them. Then what they do is they help you choose the right carrier to get those shipping rates at the lowest price that you can get for every single package, no matter, you know, what your inventory is. It's so awesome. So here's a special offer for you. If you're selling anything online, no matter what platform it's on, you want one easy-to-use interface and the lowest shipping rates for every single package, try ShipStation for free for 30 days and get an additional month for free. All you have to do is go to ShipStation.com, click on that microphone at the top, and type in SPI. Again, go to ShipStation.com, click on the mic at the top, and type in SPI. Thank you so much. I appreciate you listening in, and I look forward to serving you in next week's episode. Until then, keep moving forward. Thanks for all your time and attention today, and I'll see you next week. Cheers. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Starting a business can feel daunting and confusing, but it doesn't have to be. That's why Terry Rice started the Launch Your Business podcast, another awesome show from the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Each week, Terry shares strategic actions, specific tools, and what he refers to as high-performance mindsets that allow you to thrive under pressure. Recent guests include rapper T.I., Amy Porterfield, and yours truly. And Terry frequently publishes value pack solo shows too, like this one titled How to Write Proposals That Get Accepted and Don't Take Forever to Write. Great stuff. So make sure you listen in to Launch Your Business right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.